Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good I don't know.
It could all be, kinds of days.
It could be any time. But thank you for tuning in. And this week, I have what I think is going to be a great episode that I hope none of you ever have to learn from or actually do. But I have Dr. Brett Wells here. He's with Wells Family Dentistry / Downtown Dental / Dental HQ. Brett, can you have any more possible businesses that I'm missing? Do you have any other names for your businesses?
I did have a restaurant back in the day, and we can talk about why not never to do that.
But I could tell you all about that if you want. Dr. Brett Wells, Brett, thanks for coming out. Oh, we can't do that.
Yeah. Shit.
Isn't COVID? I think COVID's over.
It is.
Or is it halftime?
Listen, you can't go to restaurants. Okay, you have to separate there. Yeah. But if you want to protest peacefully, you can get as close as you want.
Thank you.
If you want to throw shit into people's buildings, mm-hmm. you can get as close as you want.
We'll get there.
But otherwise, it's still there. It's still there, and I think you would definitely agree that it's still there.
Unfortunately, I very much am aware of how there it still is. Yeah. Yes.
So let me kind of give you guys a heads up on what we're going to talk about in this week's episode. So I've asked Brett on. We're going to do two parts. But the first part, obviously, that you're listening to now is going to be focused on his four practices dealing with COVID. And I don't want to beat COVID to death, okay? So we're not going to spend so much time on COVID. But what I do think that's important on the COVID that we will talk about is dealing with a COVID-positive patient, mm-hmm. okay?
I'm sorry,
a COVID-positive employee, mm-hmm. what that means, what you got to do, because Brett has dealt with that. And so I'm looking to glean some stuff from there. And then I want to personally talk about dealing with peaceful protests that turn not so peaceful, and what happens when you have a dental practice in that area, and kind of how you mentally deal with that and all of those things. Does it sound like a good episode, Brett?
I think we got a lot to talk about.
Okay, well, we got 4 minutes. just kidding. All right, so why don't we turn it over to Brett? And so, Brett, tell us about yourself, briefly, and because we'll get into a much deeper dive into who you are in our next episode.
Yeah, so I'm a dentist from Raleigh, North Carolina, just like you, T-Bone. And, went to University of North Carolina, did a residency down in Florida for a year, came back, opened up my first practice up in North Raleigh. I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm a dentist by trade. Mm-hmm. Did the first one back in about 12 years ago, did Downtown Dental, mm-hmm. 2013, one of the first businesses to open up back in the heart of downtown Raleigh. We did one up in North Raleigh a couple years ago, and then we just acquired one down in Wilmington in December, which was just great timing. So,
well, it's not bad timing. Yeah. It's just not great.
Yeah. So,
all right. So you've got multiple offices. Mm-hmm. And so let's kind of dive in. So talk to me. So we've all dealt with COVID, Okay. Yeah. So now we've dealt with it, and most of our listeners and most of my friends are all solo practice owners.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they have an associate or a partner, but they're a single building. How many employees do you have between all your offices?
We have close to 40.
So 40. Yeah. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with 40 people. We have 32 now between me and my wife's office.
Yeah. So you have a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we have 40 now. I think we've dipped a bit.
Well, that's a given.
Yeah.
So when this happened, what was your first thought? And what went through your head in all of that?
You know, in terms of COVID, so I remember going back to like January, right? And my rep from Benko was like, hey, we're starting to have a tough time getting masks, like kind of.
Already, back then.
Yeah, it was January. He said, you know, they're coming from China. We're having a tough time. Kind of be aware. So we kind of tried to, not stockpile, but we made sure we had reserves. And I was so freaking out, like, man, if we run out of masks, we're going to have to shut down for a week. Like, how terrible would it be if we had to shut down for a week or two because we ran out of masks? So we got all these masks. And then it just kept, it was like an avalanche or snowball. Yeah. It just kind of progressed. And then I remember it was like a Monday night. It was like a weekend. It was starting to get bad in the country. The NBA had canceled that Thursday.
I think that was the first
thing. It was March 16th.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it got to be the weekend. I was like, are we going to be at work next week? Yeah. And I was like, until somebody tells me or recommends not to do dentistry, I'm doing dentistry. And that was the message I gave my team. And then,
how'd your team respond to that? At that time,
I didn't have any pushback. We had all the masks. They had all the protective equipment. It was still relatively a small thing in Raleigh.
Sure.
Won a ton of cases. And so went to work on Monday. I think it was Monday night where we got the recommendation from the ADA. And I have a lot of colleagues who work the rest of the week. But for me, I sat there and I said, well, if I'm open tomorrow and if tomorrow a COVID case comes in and I've got the ADA telling me they recommend we're not open, I was like, We're closing immediately.
Okay. So you didn't hesitate.
I did not hesitate. I pulled the trigger. Some of my employees were, I think, a little bit upset that we didn't give them a little more notice. But what I did was I gave everybody 5 PTO days, just free. And I said, look, I don't know what's going on really, but I know we need to shut down. So here's 5 days of PTO.
And to kind of, to rewind things a little bit, this was before we had, the CARES Act, before we had supercharged unemployment. You know, at this point, we really didn't know. We just thought it was going to be, who knows? And we didn't know how long it was going to be either. You know, we may have thought it's going to be a couple of weeks or it might be forever. We just didn't know at
that
the
time.
That
was the terrifying part. Yeah.
So what went through your head?
So as we were closing, what went through my head was, you know, how do we continue? We continue to see emergency care. So we took our 3 locations in the triangle and took it down to 1 location.
How'd your patients respond to that? Because they're not super close.
We had the patients were actually very happy that we were open for emergencies.
Right.
Now, some of them were at that first week were a little irritated. We canceled the appointments.
I had some people yell at me.
Yeah. And, I mean, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, man.
Yeah.
You know,
they still haven't apologized.
Yeah. So we're trying to keep you safe. But some of them were upset. So, I did weekly kind of this to my team and kind of gave them updates and we're like, you know, here's why we're making the decisions.
So you kept communication open.
And you know, for me, I'm sure you agree, you're a great leader yourself. But for me, this whole crisis, the COVID crisis, has been a crisis of leadership, right? You know, if you communicated well with your team, if you gave well-defined action plans and plans how to return to work, you generally had your team very happy and excited to come back to work, or maybe not excited, but a lot more comfortable coming back to work than those of us who communicated very poorly through
people
this.
Want security.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't. And, you know, we say leadership as if leadership is this great thing, right, or hard thing. And I don't look at leadership that way. I think of leadership as just consistently saying something.
Yeah.
You can say the wrong things, clearly.
Done that before, yeah.
No, but, you know, clearly we have so many politicians that all they do is say the wrong things.
Yeah.
But they're showing leadership. Leadership isn't being right. Leadership is just a matter of being available and a little bit vocal to people.
Yeah, providing whether or not it's right or wrong, like steering the ship, right? Not just sitting in the back and like letting things happen. I think that's where we had a lot of in the dental profession kind of having an uproar about going back to work because they didn't know what was going on, you know? So, and maybe my approach, not everybody did, but I just did a little video and I got really a lot more comfortable on video than I was before and would just do weekly messages. I tried to call everybody once a week. It turned into like once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But
in the beginning, probably a little bit more often. And then once we realized we were in the long haul for this, once I knew that, once I mentally knew this is going to be June before I'm back, then it was
Like, I don't need to keep up with you every week. We have a Slack group that we communicate with. And then we did Zoom calls.
Happy hours.
You know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
So we communicated probably more than most.
Yeah.
But that personal call, you know, those personal texts got a little bit less. They used to be like every day, every other day.
Yeah.
And then they started getting like once a week, once every 10 days. You know, once I knew this was kind of extending out, there's really nothing at this point I can do. And for me, the real comfort for me came from when the government did step in and provide security to our team members.
Yeah.
Now, not all of our team members made more. Not all of our team members made less. But nonetheless, $300 a week from unemployment doesn't make a life for hardly anybody.
Right.
But $900 a week, $950 or whatever it works out to be, does keep people afloat. Combined with, banks saying, okay, we can push off your mortgage for a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't have this pressure. Like, I didn't want the pressure of feeling like I needed to pay everybody. We were prepared to economically, but I didn't want to.
He didn't want to pay anyone that wasn't working.
Well,
I took care of people, but I have a firm belief that if you don't work, you know, I'm not paying you.
Well, also, and I was clear with my team. We had a meeting that Tuesday after we shut down, and I said, "Look, everybody, I think I might have even sent an email the weekend before we shut down and just said, you know, start learning about unemployment because if we have to." So that Tuesday, I was like, "Everybody, start filing unemployment. I'm giving you 5 days to kind of figure it out and get on there." But my responsibility is to keep this business afloat so you have something to come back to.
Right.
So I was very firm about that, and you know, we paid the people who were working, and then everyone else kind of went on unemployment, and luckily the government did step up there, which is great.
So that's good. So nonetheless, does anything special you think you had to do for four practices versus somebody with single practice?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
No, I mean, it was just like batting down the hatches.
Okay.
How long is this going to take? I had to go turn off all of our loan payments, talk to all of our landlords.
The banks were pretty open to it.
I work with First Citizens, and they were
great.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah.
And then what about your landlords?
Well, one of my landlords, well, two of my landlords are fellow dentists, and so they were both pretty open to it. Everyone was pretty open. As long as the banks were giving them a pause, they were open to a pause. I had one non-dentist. Corporate landlord.
Sure.
And they were a little trickier, but they finally came around and said, look, we're going to give you 3 months off, but you owe those 3 months
over the next
12.
Oh, you're going to have to pay it in.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they weren't extending your lease.
No. They just said, well, we'll give you 3 months off, but over the 12 months
split
after that,
up.
You got to.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we got the PPP, which should help with all that.
But, so we started.
But again, we didn't know at this point, right? So I had that conversation with all the team members. I think you were there, Meredith, where I walked people through, you know, unemployment, calling your mortgage company, calling, you know, looking at your credit card bills and getting rid of every subscription. I'm like, get rid of Netflix, get rid of everything.
Yeah.
He's like, here's my passwords. Everybody cancel yours.
Yeah, just use mine.
Yeah.
Because
that's great.
Well, because at that point, we didn't have supercharged unemployment. Mm-hmm. I didn't have people. We didn't know anything, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel as a leader, you know, I'm not going to do that for them. I just don't fundamentally believe in that. But I'm going to advise them and say, these are the things I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I don't need to do some of these things, but you do. So
yeah.
I walked them through what that looks like. I walked them through the unemployment website. I gave them all a furlough letter so they had it. I gave them all those things. We had a nice conversation, open meeting where everybody could ask the questions.
Yeah.
And I answered them pretty honestly, brutally honestly
yeah.
on some of those things. And I did also tell them, I said, I don't want any of my people starving.
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't want that to happen. So I said, push comes to shove. You pick up the phone, you call me, we're good. Okay,
yeah.
We'll get you taken care of.
Yeah.
And I know you feel the same way.
Yeah, we did the same thing. But I mean, I'm impressed about the, you know, walking through step by step everything. Yeah. You know, I kind of said it in general terms, but I mean, now I feel a little bad.
No, you don't. There's some negatives to my way of doing things.
Yeah.
I care about people's life a little bit too much, right?
Now none of us are ever going to play for Netflix again. Are you kidding me?
but just not that. I mean, you know, for example, when Meredith buys a house or bought a house recently, I ask her lots of personal questions like, do you need to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know if you're ready. I mean, she's ready because she's married and has a husband and all of that. But I kind of get sometimes too emotionally involved in people's lives. And like, then I'll see people out drinking and like, you know, that costs you $15.
Yeah.
You know, that $15 20 years from now is going to be probably worth like $150.
Yeah. Compounding interest.
Yeah, okay, Dad.
Yeah. So, you know, we want to kind of do that a little bit. So, all right. So we've got through COVID.
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting towards probably middle of May, Meredith. And at this point, you're like excited, shit, this is over.
We're opening back up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not
what I expected. I was prepared for, I was expecting July.
July, okay.
And
you
June.
Were worst case than me.
Well, I was on some webinars with the Straumann Group, which is like a worldwide, you know, you might be familiar with them. And they were talking about what China went through and then, you know, we're 3 months behind them and what Europe was going through. And this is, you know, expected to peak in May and we'll be back to work 90 days after that. So I was like, July might be even a best case.
Right.
This is right when it happened. So I was prepared for that. So May was like fantastic.
Yeah. So we got to May. We're ready to open. Mm-hmm. We go through all the BS around PPE.
Yeah.
All my hatred to hygienists.
Who's
going to
come back? Yeah.
You know, our team members, whether they're making more or not.
Yeah.
But let's put all of that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We get our office open. We've all gone through that. And then tell me what's the first struggle that you deal with when you get back?
So the first struggle, actually, before we had our big struggle was, you know, our original office is a 2-doc, very busy. We run 8 columns, you know, 4 hygiene, 4 doctor. And we had changed our our protocol. What, that doesn't excite you?
No.
I love it. A nice full schedule. Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, but now we've changed our protocols, right? We want you to call when you get here and let us know.
So you can't see the volume.
Yeah, so we want you to call when you get here, and we'll call and let you know when we're ready for you.
So that means, wait, every hour you have 8 people coming in.
8 people coming in. So we've got
plus
we've
the
got
phones are ringing.
8 weeks of patients calling to reschedule their appointments, and then we've got everything else they're normally doing. So
multiplied by 4.
It was a logistical.
Did you
nightmare.
Open all 4 offices up?
Yeah, we did that first week was a soft opening, so it was 1 hygiene per doc instead of 2 hygiene per doc. But
you went ahead and opened all 4 of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do any people work at more than one location?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, I mean, I work at all of our, well, not the.
Right. But any team members.
The one you want to work at.
I know, right? Yeah. The one
imagine,
I want to
imagine, how does that work out that the owner of everything always gets the crappiest job?
It's life, right? Yeah. You know, but hopefully it works out in the end.
Yeah. I'm just saying, did anyone have to be, if they wanted to go back to work, did they have to go to a different location? Because of that location didn't have the volume for them.
No, we
or did
had.
Everyone
I mean,
back?
I'm sure you guys are similar. I mean, the volume was there.
Yeah, it's there. We didn't. We
slowly,
the volume's there. But
added on.
We brought half the team back, then 3/4 of the team, and then this week is our first week with everybody there.
Similar to us, we kept half of our hygienists out.
Yeah.
But we brought back all of our everyone else.
Okay.
And then the second half, the hygienists came back the next week.
Yeah, you know, the reason I slowed people back in was one, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this time they may have shut us down any second again.
Yeah.
And what I was more worried about was taking people on and off unemployment.
Yeah.
And I didn't, because you've seen, I don't know if you've heard from some of your team members, some people got unemployment like this, some people took 2 or 3 weeks to get it. I have one that still hasn't gotten it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm hopeful that she'll get a back pay for it.
Right.
So what I did was I had a good conversation with everybody, and I said, this is not your job on the line. There's no trick questions.
Yeah.
I say, given a choice, do you want to come back now? Because I'll bring you all back. I'm committed to you.
Yeah.
Or are you okay waiting a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
And some of the people said, yeah, I'd rather just wait a couple of weeks and I'll collect unemployment that time. And that way I said I can make sure the business is ready. And then that way we don't have to take you on and off. But nonetheless, we got the people back.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, so we dealt with the hiccups of opening up.
Yeah.
So then what was your major issue that you dealt with that most of us probably haven't dealt with yet?
So we went through the first week of half, and then we went to the second week of full. Okay. And that week, one of our insurance coordinators on Tuesday, so here's the whole sequence of events. So Tuesday, she develops a really slight dry cough. And you guys know where I'm going with this.
Right.
So she developed a slight dry cough and dry
she's not
throat.
She's not a cop D
chronic,
patient.
Chronic
obstructive pulmonary.
Right. Yeah. But it's allergy season in North Carolina. Right. You know, everybody's coughing. And she had no fever. And she didn't feel that bad, just a slight cough. So Wednesday morning, she comes in. We didn't send her home. Wednesday morning, she comes in and pounding headache. So it's 8 a.m. She gets there before everybody else. And she lets our director know, you know, I got this really bad headache now. And director immediately goes, go home. So she kind of passed everybody coming in as she's out the door. Her primary care physician tested her Friday night, as I'm about to go to dinner with my wife, I get the text from my director, you know, she's positive for COVID. Okay. So, and that was like a ton of bricks. Right. I mean.
So did you hear from the government pretty quickly after that?
I've never heard from the government.
Then what kind of contact tracing is this?
I know, right? Yeah. So it was, I reached out to some of my friends in the profession who had, you know, some connections. And I felt obligated to send my entire company an email to let them know, because many of us were, I was directly exposed.
Sure.
We were all directly
exposed.
Exposed.
I mean, one person in the office, we're all exposed.
Yeah. So.
Unless you have a hospital.
I mean, we have multiple locations, so some people might not. But then there's people traveling between.
So you let all four offices know.
I sent out a company-wide email.
Okay.
I said, you know, I found, anyway, so I said, look, we had a positive COVID case in the office. Here's what we're going to do. We're all going to meet at 9 a.m. tomorrow. We're all going to get tested. And
how hard was that to arrange?
So luckily, you know, knowing people over many years, I was able to coordinate with the owner of Mako Medical.
Okay, sure.
Who then met us at his office at 9 a.m. as a special favor, tested my entire team.
They did the blood draws.
The nasal swabs.
Nasal swabs, okay.
It's a nucleic acid test, so super accurate. So,
and that takes a couple of days to get back?
He got it back to me. He put it ahead of everybody, had it back to me the next day.
Next day. So this was Monday morning that you did the testing?
No, Saturday
morning. Saturday morning. Oh, you had him, okay, yeah.
Because even better, more awesome reason why my team loved me was Memorial Day was Monday, and as part of recalling them from COVID, I said, look, we've been closed for 8 weeks. It's put our company in a bind. We're going to be open Memorial Day. And so,
see, you guys have it good at my place.
Yeah, see, it could be a lot worse. So, and I kind of said that as I recalled them. I'm like, you know, we've had an 8 week vacation and we've lost a ton of money. We've got tons of patients who need to get in. If you don't want to work, you don't have to work, but it's not going to be a paid holiday anymore.
Right.
So, and we're very generous with our benefits, but that was one I just felt like.
I think for the most part,
I heard a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nobody volunteered at our place.
No, nobody did.
I was out.
I was going to do it with Labor Day too, but after the pushback, I'm not doing it Labor Day. You know, you get your Labor Day. But so we did that for Memorial Day. So
Saturday morning, you got everybody tested.
Sunday, we had the results, all negative.
All negative.
And then Monday, we were back at work. But I just want to say, between Friday night and Sunday, I mean, probably a dozen emails from team members just mad.
Freaked out.
Mad.
Mad. Like, what do you mean by mad?
Mad. Well, she had a cough on Tuesday. You know, why did you let her come back to work? She should have been home immediately. You know, her whole family's been sick, you know, the whole week. I didn't know any of this. And then, like, another team member who suffers from seasonal allergies had a cough. And why have you been letting her work? And immediately you're under a microscope.
Right.
Every decision you made in the past week, everyone's mad. You know, you put me at risk. What are you going to do in the future to not put me at risk? I mean, everyone needs to be prepared for this. Because
did you ask them if they go to the grocery store?
I finally just stopped. I finally stopped responding because it was breaking my heart. I mean, I've done so much to take good care of them, and I have such a good relationship with so many of my team members, and for them to be coming at me like this, I was just like, geez.
You know, I think part of that is our own fault a little bit, Brett.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we don't tell people what we do. For example, I paid for health insurance for everybody for March, April, May.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and Because otherwise they got to go on COBRA. And now, you know, when there's a disease going, now's the time you need health insurance, right? So, you know, I think sometimes we don't do a good job of letting people know. Because by the way, that, I mean, you have four offices. I have just one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And that's $7,000-$8,000 out of my pocket every month.
Yeah.
You know, for my office, and then about $10,000 out of my wife's office, you know, to keep people with their benefits, because it's the right thing to do, right?
Right.
And so then when you hear this pushback from people, you know, it makes you feel like they're ungrateful. But part of it is they're just scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they probably like me watching, like I'm flipping between CNN and Fox,
like
a madman. And, you know, so they're a little bit scared. And so how did you get angry?
I didn't get angry.
You didn't throw anything?
No,
you
just
didn't yell at your wife?
No, I was just sad. I was just like so unbelievably stressed out. We went out to dinner. I sent the email. We went out to dinner.
How'd you go out to dinner?
I did not enjoy it at all. I barely ate. I was like, my wife was trying to talk to me. I was giving her like one word answers, and she knew. She knew it was. I wasn't mad at her.
What does your wife do, by the way?
She stays home.
Okay.
Now,
yeah. Does she help with the office at all?
Yeah, she does all of our supplies.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Yeah, all right. She's in it.
Yeah, she's in, so she's in tune.
She knows
these
people. She knows
on.
What's going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
she's
good.
She's great.
So, why are you successful, by the way?
It is very much so. Yeah, I couldn't do it without her. So, but yeah, it was an absolute emotional, like, that was my low. No, that wasn't my low point. My low point.
You thought it was your low point.
I thought it was my low point. But
by the way, I forgot. Just real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick, super important. You left out murder hornets.
I remember faintly something about murder hornets and the Tiger King and all this stuff.
We skipped that really fast.
Tiger King was a good thing. Murder hornets was not.
Yeah, I remember something about that, but my brain was elsewhere. Yeah.
All right, so you're getting pushback from your team because they're probably getting it from their spouses or their family, because at the end of the day, they got to let their family know that, you know, this has happened to them. And
for example, I had one of my team members who said, well, now my husband's been exposed and now he has to take 14 days off of work. And I, you know, I did email her back and I was just like, well, that's a bit of an unusual policy, especially if you test negative, that they would make him take 14 days off when he hasn't been exposed to anyone with COVID. But I'm happy to talk more with you about this after we get the results, if it does come back positive. So, I mean, these are the kind of irrational things that were being shot at me all day, all night, until we got the results.
But that's what the misinformation from social media, the news, our politicians, it's all misinformation. And nobody's doing it. I don't think anybody's doing it to be malicious, but it's just all, whatever you say, I'll find something that says the opposite.
Right.
It's kind of like studies and, you know, bond strengths and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
how'd you get through that mentally? How'd you say I'm going to open back up? Did you open back up on Monday?
Yeah.
Everybody was negative though.
Because we got the results Sunday.
Yeah.
And they were all still comfortable coming in.
Well, you know, this whole thing, right, for us has been, all right, we're going to send all our call from furlough letters. Let's see who shows up on Monday.
Right.
You know, it was kind of like the same with us opening Monday. We'll see who shows up. You know, I was prepared to lose a lot of my team over this because they were already really high anxiety about coming back in general, and then this hits.
And that weighs on you, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we've worked hard. Like, you know, your dad's business, your own business. You've worked so hard to build this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, what we build requires people.
Yeah.
You know,
patience.
We can't do what we can. You know, patience. Yeah. Hell, that's another story,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I mean, if they don't show up, you have no business.
Right, but you assume
you want to take care of your employees.
Yeah, and you know, so you pay, you know, you require people. And so you need four times the number of people I do because you're four offices, I'm one.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really kind of, you're almost like, what the hell do I do?
Like a sterilization crew go in there and clean?
Is there any
stipulations?
We had a deep cleaning done.
What has to be done when an employee tests positive?
Nothing has to be
There's
done.
There's no regulations or...
Nothing has
no
to be
No guidelines
done.
On this?
If somebody tests positive, they say you need to let... If they had direct contact with any patients, you need to let them know.
What defines direct contact?
Extended exposure. So, you know, if I
walk... Your front office people probably wouldn't be?
No, but like if I walk in and do an exam on a hygiene patient, probably not. But if my hygienist is in there for 40 minutes, then probably if she tested positive.
And this was a front office team member.
Okay.
Well, she was back of the house. So she really just interacted with us.
Okay.
So
she was more... team member interactions.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was, until we got those results back, it was. So.
All right. So we've dealt with closing our practice down. No big deal. We all did that, Brett. You're nothing special.
Yeah. That's nothing special.
I mean, just multiply you thought it by, was at the time.
Just multiply
we all
by four.
Can feel that
okay.
pain.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a COVID positive team member. And then what advice would you tell somebody about that?
I was going
to
say.
Good question. And I want to give my colleagues advice on this because the most important thing you can do is I've had two other dentists in the area reach out to me this week that they've had the exact same thing happen. I can test now for COVID. So mm-hmm. one of them sent all their team members who one of them tested positive, actually an additional team member. The number one thing that my colleagues need to do is prepare your teams, you know, manage the situation before it happens, prepare them mentally for it to happen because it's very likely going to happen to a lot of us. I'm not some anomaly out here that had it happen to me.
Sure. And part of that is not just from your team members because they interact with, as we open up in general, one mm-hmm. goes here.
On the
weekends. I remember when we got back, I told my team members, I said, listen, you know, if you don't mind, I know we're open back up and stuff. Don't go hang out with people because it might shut us down.
Yeah.
Right. And because we don't know. So I said, let's give this some time. Don't go do things with people. Keep ourselves safe.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep our business safe. Okay. So let me prepare people.
Let's go through our policy. Okay. So here's our policy. Everybody seems to be on board with this. You know, maybe you use this policy, maybe you don't. But our policy now is people used all their PTO through all this.
Right.
And so they don't have PTO. And so they get a little bit sick. They don't want to stay home and lose money. You know, so what I said was, if you develop any symptoms of COVID, any at all, anything on the list, then you need to, I'm now the COVID czar of our company.
Okay.
So you email me, you text me. I don't want to get secondhand from anybody.
No, and you don't want to send the crazies out. You know?
Yeah. So you reach out. And secondly, I was focused on patients bringing it to us. I did not go into this thinking about coworkers, but that seems to be where it's happening. So I said, you come to me and I'm going to test you. And you're going to stay home because I can test now. You're going to stay home until we have the results 24 to 48 hours. If you have no PTO day or you need pay, we're going to loan you a PTO day that you can pay us back later.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
Yeah, so that you don't have to worry about staying home without pay. And then once you're clear, once the test comes back, if it's negative, then you're good to come back to work whenever you feel better. If it's positive, then you stay home 14 days. You get under the CARES Act. I'll pay you for those 14 days. And then if anyone in the office that you interacted with, we don't need to close the office. Obviously, if anyone's symptomatic, they get tested. And if anyone who worked with you just wants to be tested, we'll test you too. So
okay, let's back up a couple of things I want to ask you about on that. Mm-hmm. So you said there's the CARES Act, so you'll pay them for 14 days. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a payroll tax credit for that?
Yeah, and I think it's under the CARES Act.
Yeah.
It might be under something else. But I know if you have overall. A positive COVID case, there's a CARES Act.
So in other words, you'll pay the patient.
They can also get unemployment if they're positive.
Oh, yeah.
I believe, under the CARES Act.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we just, our policy is we just keep you on payroll for 14 days while you stay home.
And then hopefully you'll get a tax credit from the government for
it. It's supposed to be super easy.
Yeah, that's what they say. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
I think there's a couple ways now that more are coming up since people are going back to work.
All right, so step one is prepare your team. Like, in other words, immediately go ahead and talk to your team. Like, listen, this is likely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want us to freak out. It's not happened yet, but this is a scenario that may come up. Here's what we're going to do when this happens.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Say, this is happening. This is happening to other offices. It's going to happen to us. It's not a big deal, or however you want to sugarcoat that. Here's going to be our kind of flow chart for what we do and how we're going to respond. And I want you all to be prepared in case, if and when it happens here, and have it thought through, because the worst thing is to get punched in the mouth with it and not have a game, not be prepared.
Yeah. So the couple of questions that I would ask the listeners to look at here is figure out if you're going to use the CARES Act payroll tax credit, or figure out, as Meredith said, maybe they can get unemployment so that you have some direction for people. And I would argue that, frankly, if the CARES Act exists where you get a payroll tax credit, mm-hmm. it's just easier to keep them on payroll.
Yeah.
Because then they for don't sure. have to do the stupid application and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's
and
what
then,
we did.
You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, most people don't have a savings of 2 weeks. And especially after being gone for 2 months or whatever it may be.
And have an avenue where they don't, if they become symptomatic, they can stay home until you find out the results.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's a day or two. So that part, I can't speak for everybody, but that part's a given to me, right?
Yeah.
You take care of your people for a day or two. It's not an issue. When it gets 14 days, I can understand that you want to have some kind of relief for that.
Yeah.
But a day or two, you should definitely, that shouldn't be a question.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you mentioned something about you can test for COVID. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so when we met the owner of Mako Labs mm-hmm. out at his office, you know, dentists and pharmacists can do mm-hmm. these testing. Sure. And so,
you're doing the swab test?
Yeah, we're doing the nasal swab mm-hmm. test. And we have that special Q-tip that Mako mm-hmm. has. I guess it's so hard to get. They're testing all of California, Virginia. Right. And so they do the nucleic acid test. They get the results in 24 to 48 hours. He handed me a bucket of tests and got me registered on their site. And so,
do you charge for that?
No. It's basically, they charge $70 if insurance doesn't cover it. Insurance is not covering it unless you have symptoms. They're not covering
who
it.
Who do they charge, you or the patient?
They charge me.
They charge you.
Whoever the provider was. Okay. So, you know, some places are charging
that. And are you using it for patients or are you using it only for team?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course, it's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
Right now we have it. So what I told my team is kind of, you know, you try to always turn this stuff in the glass half full positives. And I said, look, you know, we have it. If there's ever a case, we can rapidly test you and have the results back in 24 to 48 hours. And, you know, if you have a family member who wants us to test them, I'll test a family member or a friend. I'm not going to open this up to the public.
Okay. So you're not, okay.
It's $99.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
We are charging for that. Or if you have a patient who has you have a big surgery in a couple of days and a patient's but they have some symptoms and they're a little wishy-washy and you don't want to reschedule it and they're willing to get tested, then we can test them, have the results back before the surgery. And if it's negative, we can do the surgery. Yeah.
I've taken the approach. So I've done the blood test
mm-hmm.
and then we use Mako at my wife's office. We should probably look into that.
That's what I told him. Yeah.
Yeah. We should look into that. We have a good relationship with them. Here's what I would say, and this may be illegal. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say that I don't encourage anybody to get tested in my office because we're probably, a lot of us are probably positive because we're asymptomatic carriers, or we may or may not be, who knows, right? And so I don't want to go down this road a lot, you know, just unnecessarily testing if you're not symptomatic. So I would start with symptomatic people personally.
Yeah, and that's what we're doing. I mean, symptomatic, but then if somebody's positive in the office and they are just scared, and want to get tested.
Oh, yeah.
Any contact with
I have zero issue with.
Yeah.
I just don't want to.
I'm not like me, like, hey, I just want to get tested. Can you just test me? You know?
Yeah. No, we're not doing that. Yeah. So we tested everybody, and then I got more tests just in case we had another positive in the office.
Okay.
And you know, I mean, this is going to happen more and more. And I mean, there could be a resurgence of it in the fall, maybe, and then it's happening everywhere. And you don't want to be closing your office down every time for 14 days, for God's sakes. I mean, you just went through this. So you need a good clear cut policy. Make everybody aware. Look, we're not closing the office down. This happens, we're going to test the people who are affected and symptomatic, and we'll test everybody else if you guys want to be tested.
We'll just be proactive.
Mm-hmm. Be proactive.
Yeah.
Great word for that.
Yeah, you got to be. Yeah.
So if this were a hygienist, would you test the 8 patients they saw that day?
So that's, I mean, what if it was me and I saw 30 patients that day, you know, two columns of hygiene. So, I mean, it's $70 a pop. That's money, right? Yeah. So I think what we'll probably do is, I think you, not think, you are obligated to let the patients know they were potentially exposed, and you just let them know they can either go get tested or they can self-quarantine for 14 days or whatever they want to do. Your responsibility ends at letting them know.
Yeah, you got to let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so you've gone through COVID. You got a COVID positive employee. It's a great insight, by the way. Mm-hmm. As much as I think I'm prepared, I haven't talked to my team about what we're going to do if we have a COVID positive team member.
Yeah. So, and that's what I wanted to ask. And then he already answered it, that he's already had a couple friends call him and say they're going through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think not people are going through this and not telling everyone.
They're not, because
you know, it's not something you really want to announce.
It's like a stigma, right?
Because you think your patients are going to.
Well, you don't want to publicly announce, hey, we got this.
Yeah. Right.
Because that dentist is off the list.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of it is we had 20 people interact with her, like myself. Right. I was in her office, and nobody got it. So, you know, my spin was, hey, did
you test again?
So I talked to the owner of Mako, and he said, look, this is a nucleic acid test. He said, if they were exposed yesterday and got it, it'll test positive today. So, and they all felt comfortable. And, you know, but we did the UV air scrubbers that weren't that expensive, actually. We did Medify air purifiers.
Yeah, so we have those. Yeah. Those little boxes.
Whether or not they're good or not, nobody got it. And I turned to my team and I said, look, we put all this stuff in place. Yeah. We had a positive COVID and nobody got it.
HOCL sprayer. I'm waiting my fogging machine.
Yeah.
It was definitely the sneeze guards that saved everybody.
No, you got sneeze guards?
We did the sneeze guards.
I got the sneeze guard saved
it. That's what saved it.
So,
because the virus didn't go around the sneeze
guard. Or under it.
Right. It doesn't mist or whatever. No. But whatever we did, something worked because nobody got it. So we, you know, that was my approach to the team. Yeah.
Right. And obviously it wasn't from the office because nobody else, no other patients.
She definitely got it from home. Yeah, several members of her family ended up being positive.
So what did you do with her? So you had her off of work for 14 days. Mm-hmm. This hasn't been 14 days yet, right? Or has it?
I think yesterday was 14 days, but she's not coming back till Monday.
So will you test her again before she comes back?
No. I think
once you get 14 days, they say you're pretty much
shorter than that.
You're not,
you're not shedding anymore.
Contagious anymore.
Yeah, in fact, you should go give blood. At that point.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
For the plasma antibodies.
Yeah. That's why we took it. We got the antibody testing because we were going to want to go.
Yeah, because I wanted to go run around and play with people.
Yeah. We were like, let us out of the house.
Well, let me take that back. I didn't want to go run around. I wanted to go lollygag around and walk around. I'm not.
Well, I mean, I kind of hoped I had. There was a part of me that wanted to test positive when I just to be done with it.
Right.
Done with it, I know exactly.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine. I won't name his name. He tried.
I already told him.
He tried to get COVID.
Yeah.
He said he hugged somebody. They exchanged air. They exchanged liquid.
Wow.
And he didn't get it.
He straight up tried to get COVID.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get it.
He said, I'm going to get it anyways. I just want to get it over with while I'm not working.
A lot of people have that mentality. Yeah. We're going to get it anyway.
Especially healthy people.
Yeah.
Younger and healthy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've gone through COVID. You shut your practice down for 2.5 months like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got back to work earlier than you expected, but still a long time. You went through a COVID positive team member. You thought this shit couldn't get any worse. And then what happens?
Then it was, you know, so the next weekend, so that was that weekend. And the very next weekend, which was this past weekend, great dinner with my wife on Friday night. Got to sit back and enjoy a nice dinner. Saturday comes. I'm at some friend's house. We're seeing there's maybe going to be some protesting, maybe some rioting. I do not think anything's going to affect my office. I have an office.
Well, so far it's all based in Minneapolis, LA, big cities.
Yeah.
You know, and we haven't experienced any of that stuff here in Raleigh.
Yeah.
There's been a little scare once, but so my just to set the scene, my office, you know, first full glass facade, it was flying around.
It's beautiful.
Dental Hacks maybe somewhere the picture of it, but a full glass, you know, 8-10 foot glass facade
right in down
the heart perfect of perfect location
a block heart from the Capitol building
heart of downtown Fayetteville Street
yeah.
correct
yeah
right.
heart of downtown.
I mean, if I had a brick and I could get away with throwing a brick through a window, this would be the window I'd want to throw it to. So you know, I'm watching the news Saturday and I'm like, oh yeah, they're getting pretty rowdy out there. And then
you weren't worried at this point?
I wasn't until it got dark. And then that's when it started getting really bad. And then, you know, I was watching my security cameras in my lobby and I was looking at the news, and then I saw the CVS catch on fire. They were looting the CVS. And I'm thinking, this is a 100-year-old building. I mean, I literally have 6 inches of coal below the floorboards from where the old furnace was in the building. And I'm like, this is going up like a tinderbox. I mean, please do not let fire touch this building. But the glass was still intact. You know, it's a dental office. Who wants to break into a dental office?
What do they want?
So I was busy watching CNN. You were watching your cameras.
I was watching my cameras and I was watching WRL. They were filming from CVS right across the street.
Okay. I was watching WRL too.
I watched
and
News
they
14.
Showed it.
Spectrum. Yeah. And
well, you were at the beach. Did you have WRL there?
No, we didn't.
Yeah. No, you didn't have it. So I was going back and forth. I had my camera on my phone. I had the security cameras up in front of me. I had the TV at WRL. They were filming across the street. And it got to be about 11:20. And they pan over really quick as I watched somebody throw a brick on live TV through my front window.
So you watched them do this?
I watched it live.
Oh, God.
It was.
Did you throw a brick through your TV?
I don't get emotional very often. After going through everything we have been through, I lost it. I just was in tears. I was just like, seriously, after all of this, after months of being shut, getting back open, going through the COVID scare, I finally thought I had a break this weekend, and it was like another crisis to deal with. And I just...
Did you get any emails from your team members saying they saw it too or anything like that?
Or were they all asleep like they should be? It seemed like everybody saw it. Every patient was like, oh, I saw you get trashed on news last night, you know, over the weekend. So everybody seemed to have seen it. So and now we're like the main picture on WL when they talk about the cleanup effort. It was like our office in the background. So, yeah, it was pretty emotional for me. I didn't sleep much that night. And then, but, you know, the amazing thing about it was so many people from dentistry. We have such a you know, we have our differing opinions,
of course,
but we are a tight group. And I had so many people reach out to me that either I haven't heard from for so long, or maybe have never spoken to before. Just how can I help? What can I do? I have even some I haven't even gotten back to yet. I need to. But so many people offered to help. At 7 a.m., we had so many people out there helping, and by like 8 o'clock, we had picked up all the glass.
The next morning.
Yeah, cleaned up all the beer off the walls and, you know, put everything back together. And then by noon, it was boarded up.
What did they do to your office? They just threw stuff through it?
So there was 3 bricks thrown through it.
Did you keep the bricks?
Yeah, I have the bricks still.
You should frame those.
Oh, I'm going to. We have 3 partners, myself and 2 Adams, so we're all going to get a brick. And, you know, they threw beer bottles. So there's beer everywhere. And then I think the police, which were told to stand down and not protect the businesses, did finally form a line with the fire at the CVS. They weren't like arresting people. They were just kind of like putting the fire out. And so I think that freaked people, the rioters, out, and they went to a different area. So they never went into my building.
Okay. And so they didn't steal your CEREC machine. I assume
there is one. Yeah. Right in the hallway. So
because that's so valuable to looters.
But they have no idea.
They would. Yeah. They would. I mean, and like I couldn't trace that in 2 seconds. So, yeah. I mean,
so nobody stole
computers.
I wish
they had taken my Sarah. I got upgraded to the Prime scan.
No computers. They didn't nothing was taken out of your office.
They didn't come in and take anything, no.
They didn't steal your lidocaine?
No. I would have thought they might have come and looked for it. We don't have any of the heavy drugs down there.
Right. They didn't take your mask because those are valuable right
they
now.
They are valuable, yeah. They didn't
your face shields?
Yeah, they didn't. They didn't come inside, luckily.
I'm convinced our cleaning crew took some of our masks early on.
Yeah, but so we had to start hiding them.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In March, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to get too political, okay? Because I don't know which way you lean or don't lean. It's kind of.
I'm right in the middle. I'm as moderate as they come.
So it's pretty irrelevant.
Yeah.
At any point were you like, they should have done something or...
Yes. I was... And now, this is not political. This is just, I felt like my leadership failed me.
When you say your leadership, you mean our government leadership?
Local and state, Okay. I felt like I was asked to shut my business down to curb the tide of coronavirus for 8 weeks. I did it immediately. I followed the direction of my leaders to curb the tide. When I was, you know, I spent tens of thousands of dollars to keep my team and my patients safe to get back open. And then I get my doors open. And we have another major crisis, and the police were told, I have emails, they were told to stand down and not protect the businesses. So my leaders told me to shut down, I listened to them, and then when I needed them, they weren't there for me. So that was my sad moment. You know, that was my moment of frustration. I think our mayor handled it poorly. You know, more for the next night, Sunday night, you know, I hired armed guards now. I have armed guards out there every night through Sunday night. And
so talk to me about that. Keep going.
Yeah. So Sunday, you know, although after what happened on Saturday night, everything was destroyed, all the talk was ever coming right back.
Did you really think plywood would keep them out?
No.
That's why he hired the armed guards.
Wait, I'm just trying to figure out why people put because I was thinking that on the way driving back. I was at the beach and I was driving back and I drove through downtown and I specifically drove by your office and stuff. Yeah. I was going to throw another brick. I'm just kidding.
I mean, it would have hit plywood.
But I was thinking to myself, I mean, plywood isn't that so strong. I mean, it's.
No, they were just, you have to do that when there's no glass because it can't just be open. What if it starts raining?
Yeah.
That was just, I mean, it's that was not something to keep.
It would require a bit of effort. It would take them 5 or 10 minutes to rip it down, probably. Okay. So Sunday comes and there's no curfew, you know, after what happened the night before, and they knew it was going to happen again.
Well, they assumed it was a high likelihood. Mm-hmm.
There was some very good intelligence, you know, that it was going to happen again. The owner of our building is one of the highest ranking state politicians. So I knew it was going to happen again. And, the mayor was on WRL News talking about how, you know, we just wanted to give them a chance to see what happened. I mean, I don't know if you heard, I listened to it. I was like, what are you talking about, a chance? And then meanwhile, I get my security guards telling me, look, we repelled 4 separate attacks. We had rocks thrown at us. We had a guy run up to us. On Sunday night with a brick.
Why didn't you get security on Saturday night?
I don't think any of us thought it was going to be that as bad as it was. Okay.
Because at this point, it had already happened in other places. I think they did the Target in Minneapolis on a Wednesday or Thursday night, I think.
Right, but that's where it happened. I don't think anyone thought Raleigh was...
Raleigh, North Carolina, right?
Yeah. I guess it's, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever think about, hey, I'm going to go to hang out at my office and hold a gun and...
Yeah, I mean, I have weapons. Yeah. And, you know, it's... You know, it's the emotional aspect, right? You can clean up the glass. Insurance will pay for this stuff. Thank God.
But it's a headache.
But it's the emotions of, you know, we opened in 2013. That's 7 years of blood and sweat and tears and, you know, hard work. And somebody just trashes it, especially after everything we've been through. So it was the emotional toll, really, more than the actual physical damage.
So Sunday you had guards out. Mm-hmm. Were they armed?
Yeah.
Like guns?
Guns. So when the guy tried to throw a brick
at him.
Now,
what does the city say to you about this?
My buddy who's a cop, mm-hmm. you know, said, good call. That's the only thing that these rioters are respecting is force. So everything around me got further destroyed on Sunday
Why
night.
Why didn't they have security guards? How many people did you have out there?
We had 3 guys.
Yeah. So you have 3 people that you're paying to stand, and these people are like happy to stand.
They love
That's
helping.
Their job.
I mean, you know, they got to actually fight back. I mean, you know, security guards usually are just monitoring places with no action. These guys had to freaking, they got tear gas. They were destroying the YMCA a block down from us. The cops tear gassed it. So these guys, they were guarding my building. They couldn't run away from the tear gas. They had to just take it. So
no offense, Brett.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm a fellow dentist too.
Yeah.
You're guarding a dentist office.
Yeah.
We're non-essential to begin with.
Well, I mean, look, what my biggest concern was a fire. So if they took the boards
out. But why isn't your landlord doing this? I get politically he may or may not.
Yeah. I mean, if I go past Sunday, I was of the opinion of when Sunday hit, I said mentally, our building, there's a very good chance they could burn us down, and then I'll lose it. So I'd mentally prepared for that.
Did you take stuff out on Saturday or Sunday morning when you were cleaning up?
No.
No, you didn't take any valuables out?
I probably should have, but I didn't. But I was mentally prepared to lose it all. And I said, I'm not going to go down without a fight. And my wife's mom was like, hey, I found the security company. You should give them a call. And I was the
first. And they weren't, like, booked out?
Right.
No, I don't think nobody had thought about it at this point. I've had a few other dentists close to downtown now have reached out and gotten their information. But at first I thought she was crazy, but then I got to think, I was like, you know, if I'm not going to go down without a fight, I'm not going down there with a shotgun as much as I wanted to protect it. So
a shotgun's not going to do much.
It'll do something to
one or two people.
One or two people, but it's probably not going to end up well for me.
You need this automatic or semi-automatic. Or,
I don't have any of that. You know,
who's that guy? Al Pacino or something from Scarface?
Yeah, so, but I wasn't going to do that. And I was like, you know, I'm going to protect my business. And, you know, if I lose it, I lose it. But at least I'll know I did everything I could. And so, you know, they're down there. They'll be there through Sunday. They're expecting more this weekend.
And you opened up on Monday?
We opened up on Monday at 8 a.m. We did decide to close early each day, so we're open late a couple days a week. We're closing
at 4. You can't because of curfew, but
yeah, we're closing at 4 every day. So,
what time do you normally close up down there?
Monday, Tuesday at 5, Wednesday, Thursday at 7, and then Friday at 2.
Do you actually have business down there in downtown?
Oh, they love it at night.
Because I guess people live down there now.
Yeah,
a lot. Although
they may not after this.
But. And then are they work all day and come after work?
Yeah. Okay.
So those are most popular hours.
All right, so I want people to hear this, okay? Yeah. Because perseverance.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been my word through this.
Yeah, because you had a COVID positive team member. Mm-hmm. You found out on a Friday. Mm-hmm. You had an action plan.
I feel like we're having like an Oprah moment here, our Dr. Phil moment.
No, no, but let's think about that, right? Yeah. So you found out Friday night at dinner.
Yeah.
Somehow you kind of made it through dinner.
Yeah.
You didn't really have a pre-planned, but you had contacts. Mm-hmm. You had relationships. And so I want people, you know, I'm going to write a nice post one day or do something about what I've learned through COVID, mm-hmm. which is a lot of interesting things. But you didn't have a plan. You didn't have a plan in place. Like, number one, you can't plan for closing your office for 2 months.
No.
Okay, nobody in their right mind thinks of that, okay? You don't plan, or we should have, planned for potentially having a team member get positive and how we're going to handle that, but we didn't have a plan for that. But within an hour or two, you had, all right, I need to reach out to this person that I know, see what they can do for me. Let me get to my team members. Let's get this test done on Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's get the results Sunday, back open Monday. So COVID positive team member didn't cost you any days.
Right.
Didn't cost you any lives. Didn't, you know, all those things are super important.
Few team members it costed me, but.
But. Yeah. But my argument in all of that is they were going to leave at some point or another anyway. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably with personalities like ours, they're not cut out to handle it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because we're drivers. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then that's fine. Yeah. It's a worse time. Yeah. It's sad. All of those things. But
100% agree.
You're going to say some bullshit to them and then they would be like, oh, I don't like him anymore. Right. That's going to happen. I deal with it daily.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we got open. We didn't miss a day. Uh-huh. Okay. No one prepares for a riot.
Right.
No. Okay. Maybe no one except downtown offices should, but even then, right? So, and you didn't miss a day of work.
And it was more like a symbol than anything to be open at 8 a.m. Monday. I remember going to bed Sunday night and looking at my wife and going, am I crazy? Should I
would say you're crazy.
And we both kind of looked at each other and we were like, I don't know.
And patients showed up?
But ultimately it was like, well, what do we got to lose?
Let's just
do it. And yes, every patient showed up. And, you know, if nothing else.
That was a great story to talk to them about. Right.
They just wanted to see what was going on downtown. It gave them a reason to come downtown and check out all the boarded up buildings and, you know, kind of. And
they're being nosy.
So supportive and so thankful we were there and open. And, you know, for me, it was just a symbol of our perseverance, you know, than anything. Just, you know, I was determined to do it and we did it. So
what would you say to somebody preparing for a riot? Retrospectively, what would you do differently?
What would I have done differently? Mm-hmm.
With or without COVID?
I'd have had my three security guards out there on Saturday night.
Yeah.
I think that's all I would have done differently. I don't think I would have even boarded it up if they were there. Because there's still some glass exposed. They didn't touch it with my security
guards. Yeah, I saw the top part where your logo is.
Yeah, and then the door, you know, the main building door is all glass. So I'd have just had those guys out there.
What's going on with other businesses around there? Are they open?
Oh, it's so sad. No. I literally on Monday I worked that office, and I walked the whole.
That was
street.
Important, by the way. Were you originally scheduled to work that office?
I was, luckily, but okay. Yeah.
But you should be there.
Yeah, yeah. No. So I was there Monday. I walked in with a plan, but I walked the whole street and to just see that everything boarded up. I wanted to get some coffee. There's so many places to get coffee. No, I couldn't get coffee anywhere. Everything was shut down.
No avocado toast either.
No avocado toast. Raleigh Morning Times was shut down. I think we were probably one of three businesses in downtown Raleigh proper open. It was a ghost town, but somehow our patients showed up, you know.
And now we're a week out. We're 4 days out from this. Mm-hmm. And so patients have shown up all week, not an issue.
Showing up, and you know, part of it could just be they would just want to get downtown and check it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think.
Oh, let me go check out down. While I'm down there, let me get a teeth cleaning.
Yeah. Well, just see,
they had to
see
leave
all
work
the destruction.
And go get their teeth cleaned. They
but
get
you
at
know,
least
humans,
see
we're supportive people, and they want to support our business. They know what we've been through, and they've been great. You know.
Have your patients at other offices asked?
Yeah.
Or do they put you in? Because your other office is called Wells Family Dentistry. That one's Downtown Dental.
Mm-hmm.
And so they
I
may
did a
not
post.
They may not put to you know they may not put it together.
We shared the pictures on our Facebook group, so a lot of them know. And if not, you know, I'll chat about how you been. Well, let me tell you how I've been.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me this weekend. So it's a good story.
Is there anything above you? Is there apartments or anything above you?
The downtown office?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a three-story kind of office building.
All office?
All offices, though, or is there people living there?
Nobody lives there. Okay. Just office stuff. Yeah.
So are those people like thankful that you have the security guards?
Yeah.
Because you're protecting their businesses.
Does security help the building
too?
Or does it?
I mean, that building would have been all the glass you saw would have been gone had they not have been there Sunday night.
And I mean, if they burn your building down, it's.
Yeah. I'm probably going to ask for some. For some,
sure you should. But now's not the time to worry.
Yeah,
about
I'm not worried. I'm, you know, but yeah. So
there that's we awesome.
Yeah.
So and we you made it. It only can go up from here.
We'll see what happens this weekend. My last two weekends have been pretty interesting. So I'm waiting. You know, you get to a point. I'm sure you are where you're just like every time you open up your email, you're like, "What's the next crisis I'm going to have to deal with when I open my email?" And then you just take them one at a time. But there's been some big ones that didn't come by way of email.
Wow.
I think it can only get better from here. Yeah.
Hey, no offense.
This isn't real wood.
No offense. We skip murder hornets.
Yeah.
Yeah. The murder hornets are coming.
Yeah, he's avoided those.
I will handle murder hornets. I will,
no
least
problem.
At least I can see them.
Brett, if somebody wants to get in touch with you to talk about this, what's the best way for them to do that?
I mean, the easiest email I have is probably brett@dentalhq.com, my side hustle.
Sure.
That's the shortest one. The other one is really long. So
brett@dentalhq.com.
Yeah, two and, T's.
Two T's.
Yeah.
And, oh, Brett, B-R-E-T-T. B-R-E-T. I'm like, dental doesn't have
to t- It's been a long day.
All right. You.
And then certainly you're on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, all those other ones. So they can,
I don't do Instagram. But
no?
I think maybe my companies are.
Okay, I got you. But you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
So somebody's on Facebook.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't really have much to add to
that.
I mean,
that's
pretty good.
There's really
pretty
not
amazing.
Much more you could make up.
I mean,
you
hopefully everybody listening realizes how it could be worse.
Right.
You know?
Do you feel like you need a TV show? Like, you can't make this up.
I do feel like I'm living in a sci-fi movie right now.
Yeah. Well, listen, restaurants are totally, like, look.
I feel so bad.
So you should feel bad for me. Our hotel business is...
Oh man, yeah.
We have eight different properties, and business was down 95%, and it's down 70% right now. But so we don't know when the lodging industry, the travel industry, lodging industry is going to come back.
Right.
The poor restaurant owners.
I know you said twice you went out to eat. I'm like, I have yet to go out.
Yeah,
to eat.
I went. Yesterday was my first day going out to eat. And we got there, and I'm like, all right, we're going to sit down and have just a little thing. And the lady goes, I hate to tell you this, but you got to be gone by 6:30 because of the curfew. And the restaurant owners, the guys were like, we make our money at dinner.
Yeah.
Right? And now dinner has to be done by 6:30. Most people get enough work.
So they can get home.
Right. So because of the curfew.
Further story, I learned about all this stuff being downtown. The rioters, I mean, this was... organized.
I heard they were using Ubers and Lyfts to
get there.
No, to get around. Like, hey,
they weren't even walking.
I'm going to put a stop in. Let me go throw some bricks at Downtown Dental. I'm going to get back in the Uber.
Understand the people doing the rioting and the anarchy are not the protesters.
No, of course.
I mean, this is a different group coming and doing this. I mean, they are built for destruction. They were going in, I know this because we work with all the business owners downtown. They were going into the restaurants, throwing the bricks, going to the restaurants, and opening the freezers just to let everything spoil. And cause further destruction. Like, I mean, the restaurants, like, they haven't been through enough to do that.
Dude, the restaurant business is horrible to begin with.
Trust
me, I know. We've owned three restaurants in the past.
Yeah, Tasty Eights was mine down there. So, it's brutal margins. And then you finally get back on. And then, just intentional destruction and mayhem. It's just, it's brutal.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Brett, thank you.
You're welcome.
Meredith, anything from you?
No, I think that was all that's all we can make up today.
Yeah.
All right, so Brett will be back on another episode, and in that episode, we're going to talk about very important things, actually. One, we're going to talk about a side hustle, because I believe every dentist who's entrepreneurially minded should create a side hustle so that you have something to fall back on and something to kind of keep you motivated and going, because at some point, dentistry does get a little bit boring.
Keeping from burning out.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Brett and his desire to build a mini DSO with four offices, what goes into that, the pluses and minuses for anybody interested in that. And then we're going to talk about Dental HQ and membership programs, something that I have personally kind of, I don't want to say poo-pooed because I've never poo-pooed them, but I've always said I don't see the need for them. And I'm going to ask Brett why, because Brett's literally 2 miles down 2-3 miles down the street.
I'm further than that.
No, your Leesville office is 2-3 miles down the road from me.
Is it?
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leesville, it's Creedmoor than Leesville.
Yeah.
So we're right on Creedmoor in Strickland. So we're literally 3-4 miles down the road. Yeah. And so clearly it's working in his place. So I want to figure out what I'm missing. So we'll talk about membership programs and we'll see where that fits in and have hopefully a good common back and forth about that. So that's what you can expect. And then, of course, if you have questions, you can reach me at my personal number, 510-698-2663. Or the easier way to reach me is 510-69-T-Bone. That's what that spells. Don't you think that's a great phone number, Brett? Or you can go to asktbone.com and submit your question. I want to thank you for tuning in for another episode, and we'll see you in the future.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.